This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Harvey flexes in the Gulf. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Friday, August 25th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Hurricane Harvey is forcing evacuations along the Texas coast where life-threatening floods are predicted from massive rainfall and a giant storm surge.
A former employee is accused of a fatal shooting at a bustling restaurant in Charleston, South Carolina. He's in custody after being shot by police.
In her first press briefing in 3 weeks, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders is forced to play a lot of defense.
And how Conor McGregor can beat Floyd Mayweather in tomorrow's overhyped boxing match in Las Vegas.
They're fighting under boxing rules, and McGregor can't kick Mayweather, so it will be an issue where I think he'll have to make it sort of an MMA fight. He'll have to be really rough and aggressive, but Mayweather's one of the best defensive boxers of all time, so that's the challenge that McGregor faces.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jim Cherusmi will be covering the fight. He's here in about 20 minutes. As much as 3 feet of rain could fall on parts of Texas as Hurricane Harvey threatens to become the biggest hurricane to hit the U.S. mainland since Wilma in 2005. Harvey intensified earlier today, becoming a Category 2 storm with winds of 105 miles an hour off the coast of Corpus Christi. It's expected to make landfall late tonight or tomorrow. Life-threatening floods are expected. Winds may reach 125 miles an hour, with sea levels surging as high as 12 feet. Harvey may be a Cat 3 when it comes ashore. The storm's approach has triggered evacuations in communities along the South Texas coast, but at this point, not Houston, according to Mayor Sylvester Turner.
For the city of Houston, there is no evacuation order for the city of Houston, but we are encouraging people to stay off the road, especially over the weekend and through Monday and Tuesday.
Energy companies shut coastal refineries, pulled workers from offshore oil platforms in the Gulf of Mexico, and halted onshore drilling. Louisiana and Texas declared states of disaster. The White House says it's prepared to send resources if necessary. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders is standing by President Trump's threat to shut down the government in order to get funding for a border wall. In the first White House press briefing in 3 weeks, Ms. Sanders was repeatedly asked about the demand, which the president made during his rally earlier this week in Arizona. Ms. Sanders also said that the relationships between President Trump and Republican leaders on Capitol Hill are fine. This came hours after the president took yet another shot on Twitter at Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell for failing to pass a bill to repeal and replace Obamacare.
Look, I think the relationships are fine. Certainly there are going to be some policy differences, but there are also a lot of shared goals, and that's what we're focused on.
She also fired back at Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, who last week said Mr. Trump hasn't demonstrated the stability or competence as president. Ms. Sanders said the ridiculous and outrageous claim does not dignify a response. Short on legislative accomplishments so far in his tenure, Roll Call says President Trump went out of his way to complicate Congress's fall legislative agenda during a campaign-style rally in Phoenix. Is this true? House leadership reporter Lindsay McPherson has a list of ways in just that one speech that Mr. Trump said things that don't bode well for his ability to work with Congress. Lindsay, what are you seeing?
Well, Trump was back in campaign mode during that Phoenix rally and ready to criticize anyone and everyone who kind of stands in the way of his agenda. And he made a number of veiled and not so veiled threats to Congress. The one that stood out at the top of the list to me was that he threatened a government shutdown come September if he does not get funding for his promised border wall.
Congress seems, Wall Street seems a little uneasy with that since then. What else made the list?
He repeated his call to have the Senate end the legislative filibuster and move to a 51-vote threshold. Back in the spring, he had tweeted about that as well in context of a shutdown and said, we need a good shutdown to end this mess, referring to the filibuster. And he also brought up the filibuster right in his remarks in Phoenix around the same time he was talking about the shutdown. So while he said it's about the wall, it's also seemingly about this idea that he wants to end the filibuster. He's looking at it, saying it stands in the way of his agenda. GOP leaders are wasting time thinking they can get things done under the 60-vote threshold, and he really wants to force that. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and other GOP leaders do not want to change that, so that's a fight coming down the line as well.
What about reconciliation here in all this?
Yeah, that was interesting because it is related to the filibuster in that as long as the filibuster rule stands, one of the tools Republicans have available to them is this budget reconciliation process, which basically allows them to avoid the filibuster in the Senate. They can use it once every fiscal year, and they're looking to do this. They used the last fiscal year vehicle for health care, which ultimately failed, and they're looking to use reconciliation for tax reform. Trump on Tuesday night in Phoenix called reconciliation a trick and basically suggested that he doesn't like it. And I think his frustration with it was targeted at health care, but that to call it a trick when people already have questions about the way it works for taxes is probably not good. Basically, under reconciliation, Republicans have to offset their tax cuts if they want them to be permanent. Otherwise, they'll have to sunset after 10 years because of the reconciliation rules.
We're speaking with Lindsay McPherson, House leadership reporter at Roll Call. She's written a piece about how Trump's Arizona speech is complicating the fall agenda for Congress. Point number four you made with regards to these seven ways, one vote understatement. Explain that.
Trump was obviously upset at the health care bill's failure, and then during his rally, he kept referring to one vote. They were one vote short of repealing Obamacare. He was talking about the Senate vote on the so-called skinny repeal amendment that John McCain voted against, and he didn't reference the senator by name, but he was clearly referring to him. But that's a big understatement in terms of where they were in the process. Had the Senate actually passed that skinny vote, that was just an amendment on the larger Obamacare bill, they would have still had to do final passage in the Senate, and that would have only got them to a conference committee with the House. The plans are still very far apart. They would have had to come to a conference agreement, then revote the conference agreement in the House and Senate. And so he kept saying, like, oh, like, we were only one vote away from finishing this, but it's really would have been a month-long process to actually complete it had they had that one vote.
What about this other point you made about insulting potential partners?
Well, and that goes back to actually the one vote with John McCain. He was really upset with John McCain. He was also throwing veiled criticism at Senator Flake. He didn't name him by name, but he had said he was weak on crime and the border and nobody knows who he is. And he's out there insulting Republicans. And if the margins are already thin in the Senate, they obviously need every Republican to support his agenda if he wants to get legislation passed, and to go out and criticize them is not helpful to that effort.
Yeah. Thanks, Lindsay. It's House leadership reporter Lindsay McPherson at Roll Call. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Friday. An angry former employee is being blamed for a deadly shooting and a hostage crisis at a crowded restaurant in Charleston, South Carolina. Authorities say a fired dishwasher killed a chef and held a person hostage for about 3 hours before he was shot by police in a tourist-heavy area in the downtown part of the city yesterday. The hostage was freed unharmed. Here's Mayor John Tecklenburg.
This was not a terrorist act. This was not a hate crime. This was a case, a tragic case of a disgruntled individual, I think with a history of some mental health challenges.
Authorities have not released the name of the wounded gunman. The shooting took place at Virginia's restaurant, where 37-year-old executive chef Anthony Whitten was killed. The site, by the way, is a few blocks away from Emmanuel AMA Church, where nine black members of that church were killed by a white man 2 years ago. It's also near where the cruise ships dock. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. You've heard me talk about Harry's for some time now. I'm a big fan of this great shave you get, and also the convenience of Harry's. No more hassle with razors locked behind the counter. Get a great shave delivered right to my door and save money at the same time. Over 3 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. One of the reasons zero upcharging. Harry's is so confident you'll love their blades, they're giving you their trial set for free. All you do is cover the cost of shipping. In this trial set, you get an ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade to tackle your sideburns. There's rich lathering shave gel, and they toss in a travel blade cover as well. You can find it at harrys.com/deal. I love supporting the small business taking on the big guys and winning. harrys.com/deal to get that free trial set. All you cover is a few bucks in shipping. Again, the trial set includes a handle, blade, shave gel, and travel blade cover. harrys.com/deal. Don't wait. Get started today with Harry's. harrys.com. Again, for that free trial set, harrys.com/deal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Harvey continues to intensify as it steers for the Texas coast, with forecasters saying it has strengthened to a Category 2 storm. The storm, with a potential for up to 3 feet of rain, 125-mile-per-hour winds, and 12-foot storm surges, could be the fiercest to hit the U.S. in almost a dozen years. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner says residents need to stay out of the way.
This will be, for us, a major rainfall event. What I am saying to people, be prepared. Prepared over the weekend. Try to minimize your travel. If you don't have to travel, don't travel.
Landfalls predicted for late today or early tomorrow along a 30-mile stretch of coastline about 70 miles northeast of Corpus Christi. Fanning the flames of GOP discord, President Trump is accusing Republican congressional leaders of botching efforts to avoid an unprecedented default on the national debt by tweeting, "Could have been so easy, now a mess." White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders addressed the matter later in the day.
It's our job to inform Congress of the debt ceiling, and it's their job to raise it. And Congress and the previous administration have obligated trillions in spending, and we need to make sure we pay our debts. We're still committed to making sure that gets raised.
Trump also criticized Majority Leader Mitch McConnell for his inability to get the Senate to repeal the health care law. A second victim of the collision between the USS John S. McCain and an oil tanker near Singapore has been identified. Navy divers recovered and identified the remains of 26-year-old Dustin Doyen of Suffield, Connecticut. Divers earlier recovered 22-year-old Kenneth Smith from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. 8 others are still missing. Well, here's an unusual tale of near disaster and survival. A 31-year-old Austrian teacher was struck in the back of the head by lightning atop a 9,000-foot summit in Northern California and lived to tell about it. There was no rain, no rumbling, and no sign of danger before the blinding flash and deafening bang of a lightning bolt threw the man to the ground, tore off his clothes, and burned a gaping hole in his shoe. The avid hiker doesn't remember being struck and drifting in and out of consciousness until help arrived.
Holy cow.
Imagine it's not raining and you don't hear anything. I never heard of such a thing.
No warning. Nothing. That guy should have played the lottery.
Crazy.
Should have played that Powerball days beforehand, right?
Right.
Goodness. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Who you got this weekend? Mixed martial artist Conor McGregor battles boxing champ Floyd Mayweather Jr. tomorrow in Las Vegas. The online critiques of McGregor hitting a punching bag have not been kind and are in line with most boxing analysts, who give McGregor, boxing professionally for the first time, little chance of beating Mayweather.
You should have left me over on that other game that I'm from, that more ruthless game where we bounce heads off the canvas and drill them into the floor. You should have left me where I was, because this man is not on my level. He's not even a quarter of the man I am.
So Wall Street Journal reporter Jim Cherusmi sought out some advice for the McGregor camp. Jim, what did you find?
Well, it's funny because, you know, this fight is the ultimate bar bet. Can an MMA fighter beat a boxer, perhaps one of the greatest boxers of all time, in a fight? And, you know, if they were fighting under MMA rules, yes. But they're fighting under boxing rules, and McGregor can't kick Mayweather. So it will be an issue where I think he'll have to make it sort of an MMA fight. He'll have to be really rough and aggressive, but Mayweather's one of the best defensive boxers of all time, so that's the challenge that McGregor faces.
Technique-wise here, Jim, what's going to be the noticeable difference or advantage for one or the other?
McGregor is known as he's got a brutal left hand. He's knocked several fighters out during his fights with his left hand, but MMA is a little different than boxing in that boxers move their heads. They move, you know, stick and move is sort of a boxing term you hear, Whereas in MMA, you don't see guys stick and move too often because you got to defend on multiple things. Rather than just watching your opponent's hands, you got to be careful that an opponent doesn't charge at you and take you down or kick you. So, you know, you're more stationary, and hitting a stationary target is a lot easier than hitting a moving target, and that's what McGregor is going to have to face in the ring against Mayweather.
I've been thinking recently about this potential of, say, in a clinch, where McGregor almost instinctively throws an elbow. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's just what he's bred to do. I can see him standing there and trying to box and maybe having control of his legs, but in a clinch, what about the potential of just throwing an elbow?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think some of the boxers I spoke to said that, where he's going to have to toe the line between getting disqualified and making it legal. You know, and there's certain techniques where, you know, Mayweather is also skilled at doing this, is sort of, you know, the referee can only stand on one side. So if you're on the other side, say the referee's on your right, you know, if you can do something maybe with your left elbow that the referee doesn't see, you know, it can't be too blatantly obvious, obviously. But there are little tricks where you might get away with that. But in terms of instinct, yeah, there's clauses in the contract. If McGregor gets disqualified, he doesn't get his full purse money, and that's an issue.
Goodness.
And McGregor said it won't be an issue where he knows that he's fighting a different discipline.
Wow. As long as you brought it up, what is the what's the purse here?
Well, you know, they basically are. It depends on how many people buy the fight on pay-per-view and things like that.
Thanks, Jim. Wall Street Journal reporter Jim Cherusmi. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Glad you could be with us on this Friday, August 25th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: catastrophic flooding predicted from Hurricane Harvey in Texas. We'll have a live update in just a moment. A Massachusetts woman wins the $758 million Powerball lottery. Two happy adult children and a lot of new friends, right? A disgruntled former employee is accused of a deadly shooting in South Carolina. Vice chairman of Samsung gets 5 years in jail for bribing South Korea's president. Comic actor Jay Thomas from shows like Murphy Brown and Cheers has died of cancer at 69. 8 ejections stemming from a Yankees-Tigers base brawl. And the guy who put 1,000,000 miles on his motorcycle. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, as much as 3 feet of rain could fall on parts of Texas as Hurricane Harvey threatens to become the biggest hurricane to hit the U.S. mainland since Wilma in 2005. Let's get an update from our Houston affiliate, News Radio 740 KTRH, where Cliff Saunders is a reporter. He's been keeping an eye on the storm. He's with us live this morning. Morning, Cliff. What do we know at this hour?
Well, right now we're just waiting for Harvey to get here, and we have checked with our friends over at the National Weather Service in League City, which is close to Galveston, because Galveston will see it first, because they're about 60 miles away from us. Some of the outer bands are starting to come in a little bit, which means you're starting to get some rain, starting to get some of the clouds. The real bad stuff, at least for Houston, is not going to get here until tomorrow, and that's because Harvey is kind of going to hit and then stall. It's really, if you've been watching any of the coverage of this, Gordon, it's a very weird storm from the standpoint that it's not just going to hit and dissipate. It's going to hit, it's going to stall, it's going to meander, and that's where the danger is, because it's just going to dump rain for a period of days. And you know, I'm originally from New York, so I wasn't up by your guys' neck of the woods for Sandy. I've not experienced anything like this possibly since Hurricane Bell in the early 70s.
Wow. All right. So is it right that where you are in Houston, no evacuations at this point?
Yeah, no evacuations at this point, because here in the city, we're not expecting hurricane force winds. Okay. We are expecting to get some tropical storm force gusts. But the danger here in the city of Houston is going to be the flooding. And what they're talking about is on the scale of Tropical Storm Allison back in 2001, which was the storm that came in and then it boomeranged around, came in again, and because of a training effect, just kept dumping water on the city inside the loop. And it cost literally millions and millions of dollars when it was all said and done. That's the kind of thing they want to compare it to. No two storms are alike, so I'm kind of hesitant to compare Harvey to what Allison was, because we just don't know what we don't know, right? I mean, we, you know, the forecasters say one thing, and then Harvey could have a mind of his own, decide to do something else. He could literally hit in Corpus Christi, bounce off, get back into the Gulf, and then race up to Louisiana, which is another possibility that's out there. So there are so many possibilities with the storm. We're literally pulling our hair out, and I'm kind of bald, so I don't have much left.
We're speaking live this morning with Cliff Saunders, reporter at our Houston affiliate, News Radio 740 KTRH, talking about Hurricane Harvey. What kind of precautions are folks taking at this point? Have you heard?
Well, not only have I heard, I've been out there doing some of the precautions as well. People are just getting supplies and hunkering down. And I, you know, if you didn't get your water by this morning, you're SOL, as they say. I got my water a couple of days ago. Made sure that I was situated. My wife was situated. Sandbags are another thing you see a lot of people doing, but I've been told by some city officials that, look, sandbags are only a temporary panacea, because at some point water is going to win. So you can put all the sandbags down you want. You might slow it down, but you're certainly not going to stop anything from getting into your house. What officials are telling me is that places that have never flooded in Harris County and in the city of Houston are going to flood.
I just staggered by the one stat, I think, which talked about 12 feet of storm surge coming in.
Yeah, and that's going to be more for, you know, our coastal counties, Galveston, and, you know, Matagorda, which is issuing now mandatory evacuation.
Wow, okay.
You know, we're not going to have to worry about that here, but certainly there are people that are worried, you know, in those areas, and especially Corpus Christi. Obviously, you saw their news conference yesterday with their mayor telling his citizens what he thinks they should do. So.
Yeah. Hey, Cliff, thanks for a few minutes. Good talking to you this morning. Much appreciated. Cliff Saunders, reporter at our Houston affiliate, News Radio 740 KTRH. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook, where we were just on Facebook Live talking about our storm coverage. You can also follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. You could follow me directly on Twitter, too, at Gordon Deal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we've all seen base brawls that don't amount to much, a little pushing and shoving and lots of milling around. However, the Yankees and Tigers ratcheted up the vitriol yesterday afternoon in Detroit with no less than three bench-clearing incidents, including a nasty one in the sixth inning that started with a shoving match between Tigers star Miguel Cabrera and Yankees catcher Austin Romine, as called by a surprised Susan Wolman and John Sterling on the Yankees radio network.
They start fighting.
Oh, boy.
Miguel Cabrera throwing punches at Romine, and they grapple on the ground. And now the bench is empty. The bullpen's empty, and we have a brawl going on in Detroit.
All told, five players were ejected, along with the managers, Joe Girardi of the Yankees and Brad Ausmus of Detroit.
Yeah, so as base brawls go, this was pretty good.
That was a pretty heated one.
I mean, Cabrera had a big swing and a miss, and then it just became kind of a wrestling match.
Yes, but, I know. You always poo-poo the baseball brawls. You're always like, oh, it's not hockey. I mean, you know.
Right. You know what should happen is that because this was building. Right, there's been some tension between these teams since over the course of the summer. So this has been building.
Yeah.
And in that game, it had started to build. There were no warnings issued. Right, so this really flared up. They should have contacted just like a couple of local Red Wings guys and maybe some guys maybe from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Just had them on standby.
Yes.
Because baseball players don't even like to cut their finger, right, or they're on the 15-day DL. So just call like a timeout with the umpire and say, we're fighting now.
Yes.
So Cabrera and Romine step aside. Here come the two hockey goons. They're going to duke it out for more entertainment and blood value.
Yes, yes. Always throwing
the baseball
shade.
Guys. You know,
yeah, you're always throwing shade on the baseball brawls, no matter how heated they get.
Yeah.
Even the Rougned Odor won the big punch from last year.
Yeah.
You even said some negative things to say about that.
At least that connected.
Yeah.
Yesterday, maybe like a couple of rib shots yesterday after a big swing and a miss.
Okay.
Yeah, quite honestly, I yawned.
All right. Let's see how you'd handle yourself in one of these little melees.
I'm not saying I could compete. I'm just just saying as a bystander.
Yes. And, Gordon, you know, it's tough being a football fan whose team hasn't won a Super Bowl ever. I mean, there's been over 50 of them at this point. Ooh. Philadelphia Eagles fans, you know, are a special breed of tortured soul. And a New Jersey man who recently passed away is no exception. 56-year-old Jeffrey Riegel died last Friday. But before he passed, he promised friends there would be a funny message in his obituary. The obit asked that the 30-plus year Eagles season ticket holder have 8 Eagles players as pallbearers so that the team could, quote, let him down one last time.
Oh, that's funny.
That is good stuff.
Like, let him down into the ground.
Yes. According to Fox Sports, Riegel's friends couldn't help but laugh at his sense of humor, even as they mourn their friend's death. 8 of his buddies wearing Eagles jerseys were set to lay Riegel to rest yesterday. Fortunately, Riegel did get to see the Eagles win one last time before his death, last Thursday's 20-16 preseason victory over the Buffalo Bills.
That's a pretty good sense of humor.
Yeah.
I must say.
That is good stuff. I mean, obviously, he knew the end was coming, yeah. And, you know, he wanted to make sure to give everybody a little chuckle at the end.
Over 50 teams who've not won a Super Bowl. Is that right?
Well, no, I mean, there have been 50 Super Bowls.
Oh, I'm sorry,
there have been over 50 Super Bowls.
I was talking about teams that may have bounced in and out of the NFL along the way.
No, I mean, they've had a lot of time to win one, is what I'm saying, and they haven't gotten a chance as of yet.
Glad you didn't reference the Jets.
Well, I mean, they do have one.
Well, of course, you know, considered one of the greatest teams of all times. That's 68.
Yes, in the late 60s, they were one of the greatest teams.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front. We joke, of course. 13 minutes in front of the hour.
Total rain accumulations of 12 to 20 inches with isolated maximum amounts of 30 inches over the middle and upper Texas coastline as Harvey moves inland. So this is indeed life-threatening rainfall and flooding.
Man, keeping an eye on Hurricane Harvey off the Texas Gulf Coast. Could arrive tonight, maybe tomorrow when it makes landfall. It's a big one. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hurricane Harvey is following the perfect recipe to be a monster storm traveling over warm water and calm air at a slow speed. Dennis Feltkin of the National Hurricane Center says Harvey combines the worst attributes of other nasty recent storms and could dump as much as 35 inches of rain on the Lone Star State.
Total rain accumulations of 12 to 20 inches with isolated maximum amounts of 30 inches over the middle and upper Texas coastline as Harvey moves inland. So this is indeed life-threatening rainfall and flooding.
The storm surge, the push inwards of abnormally high ocean water above regular tides, could reach 12 feet. Florida has put a man to death with an anesthetic never used before in a U.S. lethal injection, carrying out its first execution in more than 18 months on an inmate convicted of 2 murders. 53-year-old Mark Assay, the first white man executed in Florida for the killing of a black man, was pronounced dead at 6:22 last evening. He received a 3-drug injection that began with an anesthetic that's been criticized by some as being unproven in an execution. A fired dishwasher shot and killed a chef and held a person hostage for about 3 hours before he was shot by police at a crowded restaurant in downtown Charleston yesterday. Mayor John Tecklenburg called it a tragic case of a disturbed individual with a history of some mental health challenges. The hostage was freed unharmed. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke says he won't seek to abolish any national monuments carved from the wilderness and oceans by past presidents, but he says he will press to change some boundaries and is leaving open the possibility of allowing drilling, mining, and other industries on some of the land. Jay Thomas, a radio talk show host and actor with recurring roles on the sitcoms Murphy Brown and Cheers, has died at the age of 69. Thomas had been fighting cancer. One Powerball ticket among the millions sold across the country has made 53-year-old Massachusetts resident Mavis Wanzik a very rich person.
I had a pipe dream, and my pipe dream has finally come true. I wanted to retire in 12, and it came early.
Wanzik, who bought the Powerball ticket at the Pride Station and Store near where she works, immediately quit her job at the Chicopee Medical Center.
Whoa, immediately quit?
That's it.
Wow.
Outies.
Done. See ya. Cashing in. Or cashing out, I guess. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Hey, heads up, if a guy named Al Zart in the town of Maine, Wisconsin, ever asks you if you're interested in a motorcycle ride, he tends to go a long way. In fact, he's now got a 1975 Honda Goldwing worth more than 1 million miles on it. The Wausau Daily Herald says it's not pretty. The seat's patched with duct tape. The speedometer and tachometer dials are spiderwebbed with cracks from exposure to the sun. There are exposed wires in the fairing that run from the bike's electrical system to a digital timer he installed to keep track of the time he's on the road. In the four decades since he bought it, Mr. Zart, who's 61, has visited all 48 contiguous states and a few Canadian provinces. He initially paid a little over $2,300 for it. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.